Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and good evening. Yes, everyone. Yes. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Desiree?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
You gabba. Check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. And now, Desiree, let's talk. Hey, how's it going?
Let us talk. You know, I'm great. And as you can tell by Kaylin's accent today, we are still down under. Guys, we have been in Australia for like weeks and weeks. But... On Tuesday, we literally, like, almost were in Australia because our guest was in Australia, and it was an awesome show. Kaylin, why don't you give us a little bit of background of what we talked about?
Well, we had Justin Figueroa, and this guy's accent was just heavenly for Desiree. She loved it.
Yes. Loved it.
And he was forthgiving with... So much information. Those gabbers of his are just magical. Magical, I tell you.
Almost like Lucky Charms. Okay, so but here's the deal, guys. So you know that we're trying to get our international tour of natural bodybuilding off the ground. And so we started in Australia, but now we need to know where we're headed next. So... Again, I'm turning things over to you guys out there in listener land. If you have a natural bodybuilding athlete that speaks relatively good English and that you would like to hear more from that's in a different country other than the U.S. or Australia, let us know. Let us know. Justin, you guys asked for him. Kaylin got the job done. Great interview. So we're looking for our next athlete, and we're looking for our next country, male or female. So it looks like Marco Addis. We just got his name popping up like mad. Kaylin, where is he from? Do we know where he is from? Oh, Italy. Italy, asking you shall receive. Look at that. So I've always wanted to go to Italy. So Marco, my dude, if you are listening or someone who knows Marco is listening, we're going to be checking him out next. And speaking of what's up next, Kaylin and I, Midwest Muscle, are hitting the road tomorrow, as a matter of fact, because we are headed to the East Coast.
Tomorrow.
That's
we're
right.
Leaving tomorrow.
We're going to be hitting up the East Coast, the NDA East Coast Natural. Earl Snyder, Terry Witzel, and I'm sorry, Terry, if I got your last name wrong. You know I'm notorious for murdering a name. But that's where we're headed.
No,
we are ready for some great action. So be watching for a lot of great interviews to be added to Midwest Muscle on Facebook. And if you haven't been paying attention, there are awesome interviews from last weekend's Natural KC Classic. A lot of great athletes being featured there, so you're going to want to check it out. So with that being said, Kaylin Patterson, are you ready to move on to tonight's guest?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
All right. So as you've heard it, Desiree Fletcher, Kaylin Patterson, P4P Real Talk, a.k.a. Team Awesome. We've got another awesome team in the house tonight. In fact, I'm calling them a powerhouse team. We have one Mr. John Marshall and one Miss Tamara Mack. And these two seem to do a little bit of everything with a whole lot of muscle holding it all together. We have powerlifting, national titles, World Cup titles. We've got natural physique competitors. We've got acting skills rolled up into here, and they also run their own company. It's called Unbreakable Gear, and let's just clarify this right now. It's lifting gear. It's not the other kind of gear that we tend to reference. So we're just going to throw that out there from the beginning. We don't want anyone confused because you know we're all about the Natty Nation. So it's lifting gear, but with that, I am going to throw it over to Mr. John Marshall and have him introduce himself, and then his lovely fiance will come on after him, and she's going to tell us all about herself. So, John, let the folks in listener land know who you are and what you're about.
What am I about? We're just trying to make this company grow. We started out about 4 years ago trying to create a gear company, lifting gear company, and pretty much promote athletes all around the world and try to give back to the sport, a sport that I've been involved with now for 35 years, and I've had great coaches through my life and mentors, and I want to start giving back now. So that's why we came up with it.
Awesome. And now, Tamara, let us know about
you. Well, he sold himself. I'm good. He sold himself really short there. He's like over, 24th time national winner there, John, right?
Yeah, I won 25 national powerlifting titles. I've won 5 world championships. Been named United States Lifter of the Year 6 times. I have over 150 national and world records. So I've had a nice little career.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. I grew up doing a lot of sports, and my dad was a bodybuilder. So I grew up in that world and seeing that. So it was always exciting to me. I really didn't start training until about 2005, and then just fell in love with it. And won a transformation contest that you see all over the place back when those were first starting out for Sylvester Stallone. And I got to be a spokesperson for his line in Stone at the time. So that was amazing. And, of course, how can you ever go back from that? You got to keep moving onward and upward. So got into that, got into a figure competition. So I started in figure and just found that I love the training part. And with figure, you get up there for a few seconds, turn. And I wanted to pose and I loved to work out. So decided to work towards physique. Fortunately, I met John when I was working on some stunt work here at the gym. And he introduced me to powerlifting. And it's just been a really good fit with my physique and my background. And have been doing that and been successful doing that. Just finished my first Olympia last week. So it's just been a really exciting time. And now I'm getting ready for another physique show. So keeps me busy.
Wow, no doubt. So, John, we're going to come back to you and all of your many, many, many world, national, best of best titles here in just a second. But I have to jump back to transformation competition, Sylvester Stallone, and stunt work. I mean, I just got to hear more about all of that.
I'm nothing compared to her.
I just got to hear more about all of that. So take us back real quick
now,
to the beginning. So what was...
Now, Desiree, let's take it back even farther than that.
Oh, my
and
gosh. Okay.
I can shoot you pictures over later when she's like 7 years old. You want to find something cool in the bodybuilding world, her mom used to date Arnold. So we got pictures in the house of like her, Arnold walking around the house carrying her and stuff. And so that even farther put her back in the, we're going to get her on stage one day.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like fate. If that's not fate, I don't know what it is. But okay, so we're going to talk. I would love to see those pictures, but I gotta fast forward to the transformation. I mean, what was going on in your life at that point in time, and how did you decide to get into a transformation competition? And much more than that, you get hooked up with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, I don't even know how that even happens.
Yeah. I was running some businesses at the time and working 18-hour days and just really burned out. And I still follow the Muscle and Fitness mags and all that. And saw that Stallone, who was, of course, my childhood hero, Rocky, was offering a contest and, transform yourself. And I think it was 12 weeks kind of thing. You get their supplements and you train and you do before pictures, after pictures, write an essay, all that good stuff. And I thought, you know what, this is how I need to change my life. The chance to do this and meet Stallone and represent him. And so I jumped in with everything and went after it and started the training and did the photos after and worked really hard on that essay, why I was a contender, basically, because this was the time he was doing the Contender TV show, the boxing show. And I was able to be called in, and I was one of a very small group that got called in over 10,000 people, I believe. And spent a weekend with them. We were training there. We had to do different things, a lot of photo shoots, and And then he presented to us at a night dinner, and then we got a beautiful watch and jacket and got to meet the man. So that was pretty neat. And then we just did a lot of photo work for his ad, his nutrition line and ads after that.
And $30,000.
All right. And $30,000. Now, who's selling short here? Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a good thing you guys are doing this show together, because that's the only way we're going to get the full picture of what's going on here between the two of you. All right, so $30,000 and a watch and a jacket and, you know, all this promo work going on. And like you said, before we continue on with this, I got to ask this question real quick. So what our listener, Sarah, wants to know, how tall is Stallone? What's the real deal? How tall is he?
You know, I think he's probably about 5'8", but his hands are massive. His hands are like a 6'5" person's hands, I'll tell you that much.
Gotcha. So, you know, it's all about the angle. That's what makes you look taller or not.
Right.
It's all about the camera angle. Okay, gotcha.
At the right angle,
so
I look 6'6".
All right. How tall are you, John?
I'm shorter than Stallone.
Oh. But you're powerful. You're powerful. All right. All right. All right. We're covered for you in just a split second here. Okay, so. So it was kind of fate in the beginning. Mom was dating Arnold. Next thing you know, you're a contender with Stallone. And as you said, you can only go forward from there. You can't go back. So what happens after Stallone? Where do your next steps take you?
You know, unfortunately, he ended up selling the line. So that sponsorship, that all kind of went away. But I knew it was something I wanted to continue working with and in the industry. So I just got some trainers and started working really hard towards getting into other competitions at that point. I'd always been real physical, and I had hooked up. I've done some acting work over the years and wanted to do some stunt work for a role I had gotten. Got into training and ended up joining a stunt team. Did some mixed martial arts. It's called Kaju Kembo. And was doing that. And so I've gotten some small bit roles. And it's hard. You know, we're out here in Arizona, and, you know, most of the work is out in California and other states. So when I get a chance to go out and audition for roles that are female bodybuilders or stunt women or, you know, those kind of characteristics, I get some of those gigs, and they're a lot of fun, and I get to, you know, play, really.
Awesome, awesome. So we've got another listener question that dovetails pretty nicely into what you're just talking about. So Brenda wants to know, what motivates you more, getting ready for a movie role or getting ready for a competition?
They're very different. I mean, definitely competition, because it's all coming down to that split second and all the prep work that goes into it. So for me, because that's the majority of my time is spent training and focusing on that, that's really where my focus lies. You know, when you're on a set and that type of thing, everything's about that. But I haven't, unfortunately, been in that many long, you know, running kind of productions that I've had to worry about that.
But the fact is, you've been there where most of us haven't. So I have to say, I'm a little jelly right now. I'm a little jelly. So I don't know. In fact, I think you're the first person I've met, and definitely first female person that I've interacted with, that just said, yeah, I decided I wanted to join a stunt team. Who says that? And even more than that, who does that? You do. So, I mean, that's still very cool. So one more quick question here. Bill wants to know, how many takes had you had to endure to complete one role as a stunt person?
How many
one
takes?
One scene, I should say.
Oh, my
say.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many takes?
I mean,
what's the most?
I think we probably did around 20, 25 for one of the fight scenes.
Whoa.
In a horror movie I was in. And it was full wide angle shot. So it was the full fight routine. And you want to talk about getting hurt and exhausted. It's harder than any cardio I've ever done.
I bet.
Wow.
So I'm gonna jump in real quick, because now I'm like a kid in a candy shop. So, I mean, are you physically just beat up by the time, you know, you're done filming? I mean, how real is all of this stunt work? All right.
I mean, it's very, very physical, and of course, mishaps happen, and you get punched when you're supposed to not get punched, and then you're covering up bruises that aren't supposed to be on your character. That definitely happens. There's always injuries. You know, going into a role, there's probably going to be some kind of minor injury, And, you know, unfortunately, I can't really do that kind of work or audition for that kind of work if I'm, like, right in prep time for a meet or for a competition because I can't afford not to be able to lift. So that's where I have to choose and prioritize.
Gotcha, gotcha. So, John, real quick, how do you feel?
I'm not in movies.
The girl here is getting beat up when she's
right?
doing the movies.
She's actually beat me up in a movie once. Her director asked if I wanted to be like an extra in the movie, and next thing you know, I was being jumped on with a girl with spiked heels and my throat being cut. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
I bet so. All right. So let's bring John into this picture. So you're training, you're a stunt woman, and you're in the gym, and, you know, do you guys just look across the crowded gym and eyes meet, or how's this working out here?
How did we get hooked up here?
How did you
I was
get
actually
hooked
grand,
up?
Grand opening my new facility here, and Tamara is kind of like a, you know, big name in our city here, so she knows everybody. She used to have her own TV show called Fitness to Fashion on a local network here, so I knew she had the connections to get the word out that we were opening up, so I kind of Facebooked her and invited her down, and actually invited her down for a workout, and she's like, yeah, well, no, one day maybe, and then she said she'd come down to our grand opening, couldn't make it, but then wrote like a couple weeks later saying she'll come down and check the place out, and she did, and she's like, hey, can my stunt team come and practice our scenes for our next movie, and so they started training here, and I just kind of sat there and watched her, so, and then just started talking to her daughter going, you need to hook me up with your mom here, so we finally went out, and she fell in love.
There you go. I love a good gym love story. I do. I truly do. So, but before we fast forward on this love story, so John, you're quite an accomplished lifter yourself. So give us the Cliff Notes version of how you got started. And I mean, with so many titles, it kind of sounds like you have your own little fairy tale powerlifting story going on in your end of the world.
Well, I competed in football. I played football. I wrestled. I played baseball. I did track. So my dad had a private coach when I was younger to just get me ready for sports. And my first coach actually almost – my first competition I was 9 years old at. But
wow.
That coach used to compete also. So he took me to a meet, just a little local meet, and he put me in the bench press part of it. And I kind of liked that too. So it's after that sport, you know. And then when I got to my junior or, you know, my eighth grade year, I went to a high school competition and took fourth there. Beat a lot of the high school kids, and the coach was like, you know, we got to have you play. And I'm like, that's why I've been doing this, you know, getting ready for, you know, future sports. So got to high school, and my high school coach competed. So we started touring. My mom was a Booster Club president, so she hooked us up with, you know, raising money and getting a team going. So after football and wrestling would end and track would end, we'd have a little powerlifting team that travel around doing state competitions and regionals and nationals. We'd fly out for them and just kind of stayed with it. And it's funny now through social networking, I see my old friends and, you know, from high school, like, God, you're still doing it. I'm like, yeah, I am. It's crazy. I see you're not. Like, you know, they've all gotten, you know, a lot of them are gotten a lot heavier and bald and until they never worked out again after high school. But
wow.
It's been
gotcha.
Fun.
Well, that's good. Well, and you're obviously still in great shape, not bald. You have green hair, from what I can tell.
Only when I compete. Only when I compete, I do my hair green.
Okay. So what's the story behind that? Why do you dye your hair green? Yeah.
What's the story behind it? I used to do it.
What?
I kind of took a 5-year hiatus. My body was just injured and messed up, and I tried to rehab and come back, and I'm just life got in the way for a while. And then when I did come back, I was like, well, I'm a lot weaker than I used to be, but let's still put on a show. So I started painting my hair for all the competitions. And then when Tamara and I got our Unbreakable gear going, she did a picture of me on our banner. And it's the one when I have my neon green hair. It's like, well, now it's got a trademark. If all of our promotional items have me with green hair, it's got to stay green now. So now I go out there, I have neon green hair. I have a neon green mouthpiece with white fangs. You know, I have a belt. I have my belt buckle with my lever belt is gold plated. I got one green sock, one red sock on. I have my shoes are custom made with green, red, and gold. So I'm like a little oddity out there. So, I can't lift
You're
heavy as much as I used
thing.
To. Let's go out there and put a show.
Hey,
and people
you
remember
go.
You. You know they. I'm sorry.
Yep. With no, I was like, yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
You know, you have the big guy. We have some monsters in our team that we just had Cody Knebel last weekend at Olympia. I mean, the guy squatted 964 for a world record. You know, you have guys like that that people remember the big lifts. I'm not going to have those big lifts. Like, I know that guy with the green hair. He's associated with that gear company over there. So, you know, it's marketable.
There you go. There you go. Jim, our listener Jim says, you sound like Doc Samson from the Marvel Comics.
See, you'll know me now. You'll remember me.
There you go. See, it's working already. It's working already. All right. So we've got our love story going on in your gym. However, you know, the love of your life, she's a figure and physique competitor. She's not a power lifter. So how did that transition happen?
Who do you want to answer?
Go ahead. I don't care.
Do you want the real story,
yes,
or do you want Tamara's story?
Oh, I want to hear what your story is.
Yeah, well, I guess we want your story first, and then Tamara, you can set him straight if it's not the real story.
No, she is. I had a competition coming up, and she went to it, and she thought it was kind of cool. She said she wanted to try it, so we just came back and taught her the three lifts that we do at a meet, and she went out and did her own, and. Since then, she's won now three national titles. She holds all the world records in her age bracket, holds all the state national records. Last week in Compete at the Olympia, that's the biggest stage you can go to for, you know, for powerlifting and bodybuilding, and took third at the Olympia and broke eight world records there. So it's been pretty amazing watching her. You know, she trains harder than I've ever met anyone. I mean, last year for her physique show, like her job, she did 18 hour shifts in a row. Was getting home at night, like at 3 a.m, you know, doing like a half an hour cardio, waking me up. Let's go over posing, you know, for the next half an hour, practice her routine, go to bed for like, you know, 3 hours, get back up already and go back to work again. So I would have given up. And like, but, you know, she did and kept her meals straight and, you know,
but
going to work with her, you know, her
Oh my gosh. I feel shame now. I feel shame. I didn't go do my workout last night because I was just called myself tired. But now I'm like, I was exhausted. But now that I hear this, I should have just sucked it up. I should have just sucked it up and went to the gym. Oh, I feel the shame now. Oh, for shame. No, if I would have had a jumbo cookie, that would have been some way good motivation there, boy. But I did
well,
not
there would
have
been
one.
No way. WHEY.
No way. So you guys are getting the little bit of the inside scoop between Kaylin and I. I am. So the cookie monster is probably my spirit monster. So that just tells you a little bit about me. And then we have this ongoing battle over who has the better whey flavor. Is it P4P Snickerdoodle whey protein, or I'm just your basic chocolate
whey. Funny you started
whey
with that one first.
It's no.
You gotta,
I let you have your claim to the fame first.
Yeah.
No, no, it's chocolate whey for the win, John. It's chocolate whey for the win. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So our listeners are digging your love story that you have here, and we've got a couple of questions here. There and they kind of dovetail, so I'm going to go ahead and ask them both. And then, Tamara, did he tell the story right? I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Story right? Okay,
yeah,
what
close.
Would you have added there? Okay, good. I mean, it pretty much comes down to she's awesome, yeah. There, I mean, that's just the way of it. So she had no choice but to start powerlifting because she was going to be awesome. So we get it,
exactly.
We get it. We get it. Okay, so here's our love story question. So Linda wants to know, with so much activity, what is your favorite junk food when you're just being couch potatoes? So hold on to that one. Hold on to that one. Mm-hmm. And then Sarah wants to know how you keep the passion and balance in your lives with so much happening. So both of them are picking up on that you guys are super busy. Mm-hmm. But when you find that little extra time, what's your favorite junk food when you're being couch potatoes, if you're ever couch potatoes, and how do you keep the passion and balance in your lives going strong?
I'm not sure we have a lot of balance.
Okay. That's okay. This is real talk. We want to hear it.
Yeah. It's a challenge, you know, because we both work in different areas, but then we train. And we don't always train at the same time or the same way because my physique training is very different. So when we come together, though, we really focus on having that time together. You know, if we're watching a movie or just laying in bed, having that, you know, frosted animal crackers I like, or his pizza in bed, or whatever the case may be, if we have that opportunity, we try to enjoy that. And it makes our time together more valuable because we don't have a lot of time.
Gotcha. John, what do you have to add to that?
I'm always a couch potato. and my sweet tooth is actually a double cheeseburger.
Oh,
well.
I have to have every one every day.
Sorry.
Man, that's my
own
heart.
There you go.
So when she's in prep, though, I have to eat it outside of the house before I come in the house. If she's not in prep, I get to come in home. I get to come inside my in the house with my food.
Now, gotcha. Well, that's only fair.
You guys are talking about something that we've been keying on pretty good because we, especially our Valentine's edition, we had some couples on and they were explaining, you know, how it can be done, how it can be successful. Because I'm sure you guys have seen where it can be destructive if not done in the right way. Relationships will suffer. So, you know, basically our listeners are trying to find that happy medium in their own lives, and they're basically finding out from the people who've been successful in doing so how to get it done. So when you're basically being marriage counselors in the gym, what do you tell the people that are up and coming and are learning about, you know, relationships, fitness, and basically how to make it all balance out so it doesn't become destructive? Because I've seen it where it becomes the end-all, be-all of everything, and it basically becomes nothing because everything that is basically a goal gets destroyed in the process. So how do you basically walk people back to reality of saying, yeah, you can have a life and still be fit?
Right.
And one thing I think with us, too, with relationship-wise is, like, you know, we both know you're not going to make a living at this. People that put everything into it, they want to go to all the extremes, and they take it so seriously they're going to miss a day. You know, we'll head out of town for a weekend. We do cruises every year just to, for us just to get away so there's no cell phone activity or, you know, media. We just go get away, and no one can reach us. And, you know, we might not have every night we get to go do something, but we try to do some at least a couple times a month. We at least get away just for us. And I said not take the competition, we take it seriously when we're out there, but it's like, you know, if you have to miss a day or miss a workout and you know, or it's cut short or you want to go do something, you know, for fun instead of that, we do that. So it keeps us happier, I think.
That's definitely true. And I think respect for each other is so important, you know, that we respect the work that each of us puts in and we support that. And I know it's so hard for people who don't have a supportive partner or that don't understand what that is. So, you know, that's always what I encourage is try to get the other partner involved so that they respect and understand what that's doing for you, whether it's emotional. You know, for so many working out, that's my therapy. I love to train, and that's how I feel better. I'm a happier person after I've trained, you know, and whatever it is that's making that important for that person, that they share that with their other person so that they can share in that together.
Yeah, and just to piggyback that, because, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. It's not always the scenario where, you know, everybody's getting along because they have the same drive, focus, and motivation. It's okay to basically be on opposite ends of the spectrum and still find that medium that can be successful. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, it's not that people aren't supportive of what's going on. It's just that sometimes they just don't see the passion that you see. They just have to see that there's passion in you for it. And I think that's where the breach happens, is because I don't truly understand everything about it. I don't want to go along with it at all. And some people can, you know, basically start speaking against it because it's such a foreign entity to them. And I am very mindful of that when watching couples and relationships, because basically you do have to jump in sometimes when you've basically seen the end game. And there's a lot of things that can be said to open up communication and dialogue, because sometimes the breach happens simply because the opening dialogue never happens if you're just waiting on one or the other to do it. So, you know, when you're in the gym, like I said, you guys do become psychologists, you do become marriage counselors, and it does, like, I hope it doesn't get in the way of your workouts, but I'm glad you're there to basically walk them back from the cliff or that doom that they see down the road. So, you know, how do you go about that, and how do you speak to people that are on the brink but not quite there, that just really want to make this work?
Well, you know, I don't train. John trains, so he's around people all the time in the gym. Usually when I get there finally, I'm very, very focused and I'm doing my thing. And I'm not, you know, encountering people as much. So I don't have as much of that time, one-on-one time with people that he does. So he could probably respond to that better.
Now, she runs a historical theater in town. I don't let my clients talk, so we really don't get into the personal stuff. I try to keep them to the point, and you know they can't breathe, so we're good with that.
You're screaming.
But the ones
in
our team that have
more.
Gone through that, I mean, I have talked to some of our teammates and stuff, who they're one of my bestest friends. You know, we've been here for years competing. His wife doesn't support him, and I feel so bad for him. There's so many needs that he's wanted to go to, and they have three kids, and she won't let him. If we go to, you know, to the house or something like that, you know, he just, that's his time for us to just go get together and stuff and have some guy time. But, you know, like, if I pick a meet, no matter what time of year or where it's at, she'll support me to go to it. And I've seen a bunch of people that, you know, their spouses have not let them do that. But then they want to go do something for themselves. And you know, and I've seen my guys, you know, go and abide what their wives want. But it's got to work both ways, you know. And that's what we have here. I mean, she's always supporting him. Trust me, there's times I do not like her when she's in prep, because, you know, she's gone all the time. You know, towards her, you know, like I said, her show, when she's working so long, and then your off time is having to do cardio and prepping her meals and going and doing her posing classes and working, you know, all those little things that she has to get done before a show. I'm just like, okay, I'll see you in 4 weeks. This thing's all over. But no, she wants to get up there and win, so we back each other.
Yeah, and that's
I just
want
to be the best competitive eater in the world. That's my goal now. I want to go after Chestnut in a hot dog eating contest.
Oh, that is so gross. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for people who think that is like the coolest thing ever, but I just can't watch it. I don't know, especially when they're dipping the buns in water, and I don't know. But you know what, John? More power to you, because if that's what you want to do, I know you will be fantastic.
We'll be on the show next year, me going out there and doing that.
We'll have you back. I'll be like, dude, so you have to tell me, how did your stomach survive that? Did you have to do extra coconut lotion on the side so it could expand to accommodate all of that? Oh, my goodness. But, you know, goals, folks. You got to always have goals. There you go. It's their turn for him. Shoot. Real quick, I want to talk about Unbreakable Gear. But before that happens, Dale wants to know some of the roles, Tamara, that you have done so people can look, or at least the movies you've been in, so people can look you up and be able to say, hey, I was just listening to her. This is the movie she was in.
Movies that you might recognize me in. It's called Dead on Sight. It's a horror movie about 8 years ago. I get gutted in the kitchen, so you get to see me screaming and die. I didn't get to fight much in that one. The latest movie, it actually should be released here in about 6 months. It's called The Z, and it's about basically kind of an offspring shoot of zombies, but they're really alive and we're cannibals, and I'm the head cannibal. So that was actually a fun role to do.
Oh, my.
Which is hence why I'm called the cannibal when I lift on the platform. But and I've done some music videos that have been out in the last year and a half. Beware of Darkness, Pussy Riot's video, and mostly again doing bodybuilder roles or those type of things. National Geographic, a show about exercise addiction, which is kind of funny. And just a couple other little cameo type things like that in local shows.
Gotcha. So are horror movies your genre? Is that your genre?
I love horror. That just seems to be
where you're cast. Okay.
Yeah, that's the ones I go after. I enjoy them. I produced on some and I just love that genre. So it's fun for me, and it has to be fun because it's really hard for me to get away to do any of that kind of work. So I have to really want it or love doing it to make it worthwhile.
Cool. Okay, so I have to make a taxi cab confession here. I don't watch horror movies. I have bad dreams.
No.
So I don't enjoy those movies. So I will probably never see anything that you do. Or if I am watching
it'll be like the music video then.
Split fingers. Okay, I'm gonna look up the music videos. That's probably gonna be
the
as close as we're gonna
get. Beware of Darkness music video. Beware of Darkness music video. It's called Dope. It's pretty cool because she's actually her and two other physique girls. They're in their competition bikinis, walking down like this desolate wilderness road, carrying the singers of the band. So that was a nice little 12. Like, her arms got pumped in that scene. Like 12 hours of her doing takes back and forth, and it's like the singers in the band look like they're dead. If they're carrying them, singing like their dead bodies is hanging over them, and she's carrying them like cradling him. The other girls are carrying him on her shoulder. And at the very last of the video, the band members pull up in a van, look at them, looking at themselves. These girls carrying, they take off screaming. But it was pretty cool.
And that
wow.
had to have been like dead weight, right?
Yeah, it was tough, and we were walking down a dirt bumpy road, and it was cold at night in our bikinis. And I can't even tell you how many takes we did for hours and hours. And I was having to carry him like a bicep curl while he's singing, moving his head around. So I'm getting there where I'm marching with my knees to keep bumping him up. The guys actually asked us all to quit and give them breaks because they were all getting bruised with us carrying them for so many hours. So it was kind of
fun. Good grief. So this is a grown man. I mean, how much did he weigh?
Thankfully, he's not a real big guy. So probably about 140.
Only?
No.
Only.
Yeah, it was a tough shoot. And then I had to turn around and drive back from California to Arizona that night. I was pretty numb at that point.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's not all glamorous, folks.
this
stuff.
Right?
It really isn't. It looks really cool and it sounds like a lot of fun, but I bet there's parts of it that they're just, you know, you're just like, why am I doing this again? Okay, I love it. Okay, that's why I'm doing this. Okay.
Right.
I get it now. Okay,
and
gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. Just like competing.
Exactly.
You got it. Okay, so Unbreakable Gear, love story continues. We're prepping, we're lifting, we're competing, and now how does Unbreakable Gear come into the picture? John, why don't we start? Whoever wants to take that one first.
Well, the original Unbreakable Gear was my sponsor for 4 years, and all they were was a clothing company. So my team would get, you know, uniforms for our competitions, you know, gym bags, anything like that, and entry fees paid for, you know, our big shows. And that's all it was. Tamara and I were together probably a year and a half when the owner called me and says that he had an offer for an overseas company and wanted to buy it, and that was the original goal, was to, you know, build something up and sell it. And he goes, you've been my biggest supporter, you know. And so I'll plug people who sponsor us. I plug the heck out of them. So if you're going to help me out, I'm going to do everything I can to try to get you guys more business. So I was pushing them pretty hard. Everyone actually thought Unbreakable was mine already because of that. So he came to us and said, hey, you know, do you want to buy this? Now, my amazing fiance over here that she's done all these things she's done, used to be one of the top designers back in her day for clothing lines. So in all kinds of European magazines, next big thing. She had two stores in Tucson. She's flying back and forth to New York all the time. creating a whole children's clothing line she used to do. So having the background of being able to make apparel, I'm like, let's do this, buy this company. You design a whole apparel line off of this. And my idea was kind of do that kind of like an Affliction, you know, cool with gears though and stuff, like cool Affliction type style line clothing. And I said, I want to make lifting gear. So I started sampling out gear. She started working on designs. And within like 6 months, we had it launched with a couple of shirts and one pair of knee wraps. And now we have four different lines of knee and wrist wraps. We have knee sleeves, elbow sleeves, two styles of belts. We got gym bags. We got still all your apparel. We have like collars to the bars. We make specialty bars. We have supplements that we carry. So it's grown from just, you know, one little item to something pretty cool.
Wow. Can I just say I want to be like you guys when I grow up?
You don't want to be a short Mexican. Maybe like her. But, and then at the end of this month, we'll have Unbreaker Wear coming out. It'll be their website, and that's when we'll actually launch a lot of her new designs. So then we came up to the point that all the tricked-out designs that she was making was kind of expensive to make. So with a couple of basic ones, but we'll have some. So now we'll have some new things will be going up, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, now, okay, what's your target for that? You know, when you say workout gear, is this for the heavy lifter, the moderate lifter, or just all of the above?
For the gear or for the apparel? For the gear,
both.
The gear is pretty much everybody. I have a little senior lady for our knee sleeves just to keep the arthritis in her knees. It keeps her knees warm and just enough support that they can be on my treadmills walking. You know, I said, we have wraps the same way. We have like beginner wraps for someone who just wants to, you know, just get some support on their knees up to extreme wraps. So like, you know, if you don't get this thing off my leg's going to fall off really quick.
Belts. Hold on. Obviously we have some late tune in listeners. Guys, look, come on. Let's be real. You know, this is real talk. This is a natural show. So we did reiterate at the beginning of the show when we were talking about the name that this is apparel and not drugs. So get your mind. All right. Okay, go back to what you were saying, sir.
So we have, you know, the lines of our lifting equipment, we'll say, goes from beginners, people just, you know, general fitness people, all the way up to the. And then apparel, just trying to make, you know, cool stuff that people are going to like to walk around wearing. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we do.
No, go ahead.
We have a whole new like little skull line coming out, you know, and people like the skulls. It seems like so anyone can
like
wear
the Punisher skull.
You know, a skull rather than, you know, it doesn't have to have a barbell on it, but she came up with some really cool designs that way, and
Okay, I'm liking the sound of that.
I know. We're going to have to check this out and see it. So, all right. So, on the apparel end, where do you guys draw your inspiration for what you design?
Well, it's tough. I mean, because they were apparel gear initially, they had some great designs that we wanted to build on and carry forward. And that's what really launched it for us with their some of those designs. And just looking at what people, listening to people in the gym, what are they wearing? Well, there, you know, unfortunately, Walmart to Target and everybody has those graphic shirts now. You know, everybody wants to wear Lycra and wear their workout shirts. So there's a lot of things out there. So really looking for different interpretations. And like you said before, the Affliction kind of style printing and just a little more upper scale design wise that people would want to wear, not only in the gym, but maybe afterwards in the evening. And we're going to see that Unbreakable walking down the street.
Cool. So if someone is interested in Unbreakable gear or apparel, where do they find you guys at?
Yeah, they go right on that website, and we ship international.
Oh.
Okay. And so your web address is?
It's www.unbreakablegear.com.
Okay, there you have it. There you got it, guys. What did you say, Jalen?
I said I'm ready to kick some of our listeners' butts. They're being, yeesh. I mean, they should know better. I mean, oh, what are you guys talking about? Come on. Come on. Look, we took you to Australia. Don't be like this.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so unbreakablegear.com sounds like some fantastic stuff, so I'm going to have to check that out.
Yes.
So I feel like either you guys were just going to a competition or you're getting ready for a competition. Which was it, and either what happened or what are you hopeful to have happen?
Both.
Okay. Well, fill us in. Is that John or is that TV or?
Did we lose him?
Nope.
I
hear us now.
Okay, I can hear you. I can't hear him.
Yeah, he sounded kind of muffled. Are you doing a horror movie scene that we don't know about?
All right, so you just
it never
seen? So I'm not sure what's going on with John. So Tamara, we
I
still have you.
I think it's been chloroform.
You there?
Yeah.
Yes.
There.
There we go.
Chloroform.
All right, sorry, my fat cheek hit the mute
way?
Button.
Okay. I
hey, you know what? But this,
with movies.
That's happened to Kaylin before, too. We'll be going along talking, and we'll say, hey, Kaylin, what do you think about that? And he's nowhere to be found.
hey.
He hit the mute button. He hit the mute button also, so don't feel bad. So anyway, we're glad to have you back. We're glad to have you back. So what competitions are you prepping for, and or did you just come off of?
I was saying, Tamara just competed at the Olympia. She took bronze medal in her class, broke 8 world records. She ended up doing a 391 deadlift, 220 bench, and 320 squat, winning at 121. So that was amazing for us to watch. I'm training right now for the Phoenix Europa Sport Festival. That's kind of like another giant expo. We have 70,000 spectators there walking around doing every sport possible, strongman, karate, jiu-jitsu, arm wrestling, CrossFit, obstacle courses. So we'll have our powerlifting guys there. And then in 7 weeks, she's back on stage at the Frigno Legacy in Palm Springs. So
that's
our next few
we
months
are
here.
Seeing, and that's a lot. And just to kind of, I'm switching gears a little bit, but we are seeing more natural bodybuilding promoters dabbling in more of a sports expo type format. So not only do they feature natural bodybuilding, but, they're also having powerlifting competitions and, some MMA, not MMA, but I guess martial arts competitions all in the same venue. Do you kind of see that trend on your end of the world as well, or is it still just, straight powerlifting meets that seem to be dominating right now?
Straight powerlifting, there's pretty much probably several meets each weekend somewhere, but the expos are becoming more popular. We were just looking at our schedule for next year. We're already lined up for summer with 5 shows next summer, and we have a couple more we're looking at and doing, and they're all expos, which before you never saw that. It was always just the Olympia or the Arnold, but now we're doing 2 Europas next year, one in Dallas, one in Phoenix. We got Anaheim Expo, Santa Clara Expo, some Evo Expo that they're bringing out. We're going to do 2 with them. So it's looking really good next year for those kind of events, because those events are fun. You have every cross-section of the world there. So we like
it. That does sound exciting. That does sound exciting.
Because basically
right,
one meet,
so...
you guys have been to them, they're kind of boring. even like with her bodybuilding stuff. I'm like, I just paid $280 to sit in the audience for 3 seconds for you. I'm like, really?
Now that's
if you have the expo, you can just walk around somewhere and do something else while you're there.
Yeah. So, and I'm just curious because we're seeing it pop up more and more all the time, and you know, if this is kind of the new trend that's headed this, you know, that's going to be taken over. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing. It just introduces more people to more sports all in one venue, and it does give you more to do. It becomes more of a destination event than just a one-day event.
Right.
So I think that's kind of exciting, too. We have a question here from Carl. He wants to know, do you guys take your supplies and products to the shows that you attend? Do you also set up booths to market yourselves
yes.
at the same shows you're competing at? All right. That was a short answer to a long question. But there you have it. So you guys are working double duty. So one of you is there to compete, the other one there is marketing, and vice versa. So I guess it's being very efficient.
Like at the Olympia, we couldn't do it. It's just so expensive there. I mean, like a 10x10 booth at Olympia is like $15,000. So it's not really worth it for us to try to go sell that much stuff there. But, like, we're sponsoring the World Championships in Vegas in November. You know, it'll be a huge event. We do the Europas. Those are always great events to be at. And all the other expos I was mentioning earlier, we'll have our booths at. And some will have our athletes compete at, and some we won't. But no matter what, at least the company will be there.
There you go. Listeners are wondering, what's the price range of your products? And they want to hear the web page again, the web address again. Yeah.
Website is unbreakablegear.com. And our price ranges run from, like, you know, $12 for a pair of lifting straps up to, you know, $60 for a pair of knee sleeves. Belts are, you know, $75 and everything in between there.
Okay. Very good.
Unless
you need
custom stuff like custom bars.
And those tend to be pricier?
Yeah, like a custom lifting bar. I mean, like a safety squat bar or, you know, a deadlift bar. They're going to be, you know, several hundred dollars to make them.
Gotcha. And I know some of our listeners are looking up your site right now. So, folks, depending on what it is you're looking for, it sounds like they've got a wide variety of stuff. So check it out. And if you have questions, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that they probably have a contact us button on their website that you can ask all of your particulars there regarding their products and apparel. Here we go. This one's for you, John. Linda wants to know the proper form for deadlifting. She has been bumping her knees and wonders if that is normal.
She's bumping her knees. You will hit sometimes. I mean, I still hit at times. You just want to... It depends what kind of lift she's doing. You ask her if she's a sumo deadlifter or a conventional deadlifter. I'm probably taking if she's hitting her knees, probably conventional, but just want to make sure.
She's hitting her knees with the bar. I don't have a lot of extra detail with the type of deadlift she's performing. On the way up, she's bumping her knees with the bar.
I mean, it's, you want proper form. You want it to be close to your body as possible, so... I mean, I would like to have her striding up or, you know, skiing her shins, going all the way up her leg. And sometimes it will hit, unless she just wants to slip, pop up just a half an inch, you know, when she gets to her knee area. But we like to keep our bars nice and close. And I said, and we all get hit too. So I don't think she's doing anything wrong. I'd have to see a video. And she's more than happy
yep.
if she wanted to get our information and send videos to me, and I could critique them.
All right. Well, there you go, Linda. You have an offer. If you want to take a quick video on your phone and send it John's way, he'll be more than happy to take a look at that for you and let you know ways that you can tweak your form. Because you do coach a lot of athletes, and then you also have your own team. We're hopeful that you're going to be on the show with us again next week with the youngest team member. That's part of Unbreakable, Team Unbreakable. So that'll be exciting. So hoping to have that
Tuesday,
confirmation
right?
there soon. Yep, that's right. That's
yes,
right.
Confirmed,
so
we're good.
That's going to be – all right, good. So that's going to be another good interview, guys. So you're going to want to be tuning back in on Tuesday for well as well, not only for an update on the NJA East Coast Natural, but also to talk to Minnie, as John refers to her, and John again, and just get that perspective of starting them young and the opportunities that go along with that. Here, quick question here, guys. Jim wants to know if you are going to be dressing up as zombies for Halloween. Is that a we're not sure, or that's a giggle of we can't tell you, or we'd have to kill you, or what does that mean?
Actually, she's working and that now, night, so. But they are. Right. What are you playing? Oh, they're playing psycho. They're playing psycho at her work. You never know. She might be walking around, blood dripping somewhere from her.
All right. Well, and if she tried to chime in, we couldn't hear her. So just FYI, the issue that we had with you might be the same issue that she's having to go on here. Okay, another quick question here, and we actually are starting to run out of time, folks. So if we don't get up to all your questions on this show, we're going to have John back on Tuesday, so we'll try to address that then. But Carl wants to know, when as a parent should a parent let their child lift heavy weight, not just exercises, but actually have a pretty regimented strength training program?
We've seen athletes start at 5 years old. The AAU, which is the Amateur Athletic Union, which is a picture you saw of Demaya, the organization she lives in. I mean, they start them at 5 years old. And if you find a good coach who's teaching proper form and they're not overdoing it, they can progressively keep on going up. Your body will adapt. And it's been, you know, shown many researchers with, you know, sports doctors and stuff that the growth plates aren't being affected. So unless you're doing improper lifting and it's damaging in that way, but as I started competing at 9, Demaya started competing when she was, I think, 7, and just kind of tell you where she's at, and you'll talk to more next week, but she's only 70 pounds now. She's 11 this year. She's deadlifted 200 pounds. She's squatted 165, and she's bench pressed 105. You know, so, we're going to competitions.
Gosh.
We're beating women out there. And the last meet I had her at, they're like, I thought you had her competing. She is. Well, she hasn't gone. It's because she's stronger than you. Because they go in progressive order of the weights being lifted. And she was outlifting, full-grown women. You know, at that time, she was weighing like 65 pounds. So she has put on some weight. But, they've shown that gymnastics and tumbling, those kind of things are going to affect your growth more than lifting has done.
Wow, that's amazing.
So,
I'm excited for next Tuesday. I really want to hear about this and definitely want to hear about it from her perspective. Saying his son wants to go beast mode, but he wants to make sure
nice.
He does not kill his beast, that he doesn't kill his beast. So he's just wanting to be safe. So with that, folks,
get ugly.
We've literally got about 2 minutes left. So, John, you have about 60 seconds worth of shout outs that you can give to anyone and everyone that has been there for you and Tamara on this wild ride that you two have been on.
I'd like to just shout out and thank the team for always being here with us and supporting us and traveling with us, and on to our sponsors, Excel Sports Nutrition, Skull Smash Ammonia, Hand Armor Liquid Chalk. They've always taken care of GlycoForce, replenishing drink. They've always been there for us, taking care of us, and I'm good.
What he said, and also, and my coach, that was my physique coach, he's actually out in L.A., Eric Brozier, he's suffered through with all the diet and everything else, and he's been great there along the way, too. So we just got a great crew and so many supporters online and people that just put in those words of inspiration, too, and that keeps us going. So UG Nation, they rock, and we love them.
Awesome. Well, we still got some questions rolling in, guys, but we're going to have to save those for Tuesday. John and Tamara, thanks so much. It's just been a joy talking to you guys today and living vicariously through all the different experiences that you've had. So have really appreciated that. Kaylin, any last-minute thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I'm really glad that they support Snickerdoodle P4P.
There you go, Snickerdoodle, baby.
Yes, sir.
Oh, stop
yeah.
it. All right. So on that note, hashtag chocolate way for the win. On behalf of Josh Tamara, Kaylin, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Build it with Snickerdoodle.
Thanks, guys.